Our scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. And this can be found on page 738 of your Pew Bibles. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, as we open up the scriptures this morning, we pray for open minds and hearts ready to receive your word. May the spotlight be focused on Jesus today and his great love and mercy, but also his call for repentance in our lives. May my words be honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I jumped online and I checked the current events. I'm not going to read all of them to you, and I'm not going to give commentary on them, so I'm not reading these for you to say good or bad. Just what I read. The very first thing was Kavanaugh was sworn in. I also noticed that there was a giant brawl that erupted after Khabib choked out McGregor. Apparently there was a fight last night and that happened. In Major League Baseball news, Aaron Judge, who plays for the New York Yankees, explains why home field is so very important. Those were just a few of the current headlines. Now, we are going to look at something in the Bible where there's seemingly current events. And there are two of them that are on people's minds. And I like this parable because it's something that we all can relate to. We all wake up, we check the newspaper, we check the internet for things that are going on all around us. And we, in that way, get filled in with the world, the world's news. Well, there were some hot topics that were being talked about here, and Jesus handles them one by one. But Jesus, being a wise teacher, puts a spin on them, gets people to think a little deeper than what they just wanted to. The first was done by the evil hand of men. If you look back at your Bible in verses 1 through 3, Jesus addresses a violent event involving deaths of some Galileans who were slaughtered by Roman troops under Pilate's command. Thank you. Look back at your Bible. "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" So it's not clear if this event happened a few days ago or a year ago, but we know that it was a hot topic. It was something that was really bad in that community. You can just imagine the Jewish people making their sacrifices to God, and the Bible says that there was a mingling of blood, and that was taboo. That was the wrong thing to do in that culture in that time. But Pilate obviously did not care about those things. But Jesus goes deep when he asks them, do you think, notice his question, that these Galileans are greater sinners than all the other Galileans? In other words, something bad happened to them. Do you think it's because they're greater sinners than other people? And then a little bit further, Jesus brings up another disaster. He says, or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the other men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So we don't get a lot of detail in the Bible about this event. We just know that something happened that was a collapse of some sort, fell and killed 18 people. So the one event, was done by the hand of evil men. The second event was different. It was a natural disaster. Think of maybe 9/11, since it's fresh in all of our minds. You know, that was something that was done by the hand of evil men that hurt people. Okay, and sometimes you open up the television and you will see that there's a tornado, which is a natural disaster. They're both bad things that has happened. They're both bad things. But Jesus goes deep and he continues to press them and he asks them this question and he's trying to challenge their underlying assumptions. Was there something hidden in their lives? Is this the reason why this disaster happened to them? Was God punishing them? He's trying to get them to think about their underlying assumptions. And we do the same things today. You know, if there's a part of the United States that something particularly bad happens, we start ascribing all kind of reasons. Well, it's because they're very immoral, or it's because they're bad people, or they're sinning in ways that we aren't sinning and God is punishing them. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to address, that attitude, that idea. But notice Jesus on both occasions answered, no, that's not the case. And then he said these words, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Why is that important? Why is that a powerful method? Well, it's natural for humans. All of us do it, myself included. When we hear these things, to separate ourselves. It's just happening to them because they act like that. But Jesus is a great teacher. He's trying to get them to focus on not what's happening over there. He's trying to get them to focus on what's going on in here. And he says, unless you repent. You know, we come to church and we hear a sermon and we always think about the person over there or back there or who isn't here. But Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Hold the mirror up and look at yourself. And he says, look, unless you repent, you will have the same fate as those people that were just killed. Not maybe in the same manner, but here's the point. You will share the same fate because you will one day stand before God. They are standing before God. They will answer for their own lives. But what he's saying is you will stand before God one day, and you have to answer for your own lives. We're all going to die. That's why repentance is so important. It's a top priority. In both cases, I guarantee you that those people did not wake up that morning and think that was going to be their last day here on earth. And no one ever does. So what Jesus does, again, being an incredible teacher, is he gives these lessons and then he gives a story, because the stories are the best way to learn something. So what he does is he launches into a parable. It's a parable about a man that had a fig tree. And this fig tree had been planted in his vineyard. And when he came to look for it, he did not find any fruit. There was no figs on it. So he calls the vineyard keeper and says, behold, 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I have not found any. Let's cut it down. It's got to go. Why does it even take up the ground? He asks. And the answer was, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put fertilizer around it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. What can we learn about this little parable? Well, I really like what David Guzik says about this. He says the first thing is, obviously, a tree should bear fruit in the same way that a Christian should bear fruit. All of us are supposed to be fruit bearers. An apple tree is supposed to produce apples. And in this case, a fig tree is supposed to produce figs. If Jesus touches your life, if Jesus comes into your life, he will change it. He will change the direction. In fact, Paul talks a lot about this. He talks about something called the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Many of you have memorized that passage, and it is a beautiful passage. But more than is it just a beautiful idea, these concepts are supposed to be born in our lives. And more so, when our friends and family come around us, they are supposed to look at our lives. Just look, he looks at the fig tree and says, look, there's beautiful figs hanging off of it. Your friends are supposed to look at you and say, that's a loving person. They have joy in their life. They're kind. They're good. They're faithful. She's gentle. He's got a lot of self-control. Your friends and family should experience these things in your lives. Now, obviously, I don't think we're going to be doing this all day and all night. We're imperfect people saved by a perfect Savior. But the point is, if people are not walking away seeing fruit in your life, there's something wrong. Which leads us to the conversation around the fig tree. So remember, he comes looking for fruit. So an easy way to think about this is a magnifying glass. If I had one, I'd hold it up for you and show you. As a Christian, there's a magnifying glass. Where's the fruit? But the second image is that of a shovel. Because there's a lot of patience with God. Have you noticed that? 3 long years, this thing sat there. No fruit. Some of us would want to cut it down immediately. But it was 3 long years. And there's a lot of patience with God. He's patient with us. We know that God is referenced as Father. Think about your own life. Think about the little ones that were just here. You remember when you had little ones? Some of us are in that process right now. And man, you want to pull your hair out. They test you all day and all night. I appreciate my mom and dad a lot more now that I see Isabel and Carmen running around. In fact, I will ask them and I will say, did I act like that? Did I act like that? And then I say, how did you like me all these years? It's just what they do. But as a loving father and a loving mother, you're patient. And that's the same thing with God. Notice he did not leave this tree alone. He didn't want to cut it down right away. It was suggested, let's cut it down. But he said, let's hold on and let's do some hard work. Notice he said, let it alone for this year too, until I dig around it and put fertilizer. You know what that means? That means work. It means hard work. It means sweat. It means dirt underneath the fingernails. It means scabs. It's love. It's patience. It's tenderness. That's what he's saying. Don't cut it down just yet. I know everyone else wants to give up on it. I don't. Next, the judgment of God. So if you thought of a shovel, Now I need you to think of an axe, because this is the other nature of the Father. Tough love. You can't just let your children do whatever they want all the time, or else that's not the loving thing. So he says, if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. Cut it down. That's the judgment of God. Something that we can all understand. It's simple. There's a day of reckoning. It's not just endless threats. He names a day and a time. Next year, if I walk out here and I don't see fruit on the tree, you cut it down. This is what the state of the world is under. This nature of God, created in His image, the loving, patient love of God that He sent through Jesus for us. And He beckons us to come back to Him every Sunday, every day, through all types of means. Return to me. Come back. But that's also met with, there's a day when you will stand before me. Now the story ends, and we don't know the conclusion, which is another really great teaching tool. You don't know what happens with this tree. Here's why. Because it's just a story. The whole point is, what are you going to do as the listener to the story? You have a decision to make. Do you want the shovel or the axe? Do you want the shovel or the axe? God calls us. He beckons us to return to Him. I can't do that for you. Only you can do that for yourself when God opens up your eyes and changes your heart. But some of us want to keep putting that off because we know that God is loving, God is patient. But don't keep putting it off, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Amen.